Lindsay, for that. That was a beautiful song. That's one of my favorite songs of all time, because I'm looking forward to that day when that trump will sound. Amen. And our Lord will come back. Because of that, it is well with my soul. I want to wish all of you moms here a happy Mother's Day. I hope your day has got off to a good start. I know I was kind of joking with my wife this morning. We were kind of rushing around trying to get ready for church and everything, and I was looking at the clock. I'm like, I've got to go. I'm running out of time. And I said, I went over to her, gave her a kiss, said, Happy Mother's Day. And she said, well, thank you for leaving me with two screaming children. So that was kind of my Mother's Day gift to my wife this morning. I had to rush off to church with our children screaming there. But I just, you know, it was one of those times and one of those days. But I'm so glad that on this day of celebration that you have come to chosen to make Big Spring Baptist Church a part of your day. You know, as I think back over my childhood, I have been profoundly impacted by my mother and my grandmother. I have been blessed, as many as you have been, to have been raised by a godly mother, a godly grandmother, who have blessed me and encouraged me over the years. And as I think about Mother's Day, I think about the impact and the influence that my mother had on me. I think about the influence and impact my grandmother had on me. I think about my wife and how I am blessed to have such a godly woman who is in my home and is raising our children. And I think about that kind of legacy. I think about that kind of impact. Because the reality is, I have received something from my mother and my grandmother that is far better than any riches and gold. I've received something from them that is far better than any stock options. I've received something from them that is far better than a vacation home that is on the ocean. Because what I have received from them is an inheritance of the gospel. And that is very precious to me. And there's a passage in the Bible that talks about this kind of inheritance. And it comes in a letter that was written by a man named Paul. And Paul was writing this letter to a young protege by the name of Timothy. And we're going to be looking this morning at that in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul was a man who, he loved the Lord, but he had a very checkered past. Because at one point in Paul's life, Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was killing Christians. But God radically changed his life. And Paul was a man, because of this work that God had done in his life, he was basically changing the world as he traveled the world planting these churches all in all these major cities in the world at that time. And a young man that I believe that Paul led to Christ was a man by the name of Timothy. Timothy was much younger. He was a sharp man. He had a great future ahead of him. We can see that Paul says that he laid hands on him, that he prayed over him. And Timothy had gifts for the future and for the ministry, and he had this very unique and special relationship with Paul. And what we can see is that Paul actually invested his life in this man by the name of Timothy. And near the end of Paul's life, Paul writes this letter to Timothy. It's kind of one of those letters that, you know, you're looking back, you're reflecting back over your life, and you're looking at all that has gone on, and we can see that he was looking at Timothy's life. He was wanting the ministry to continue on. He was wanting Timothy to remain strong in the Lord. He wanted Timothy to flourish. He wanted the gospel message to continue to be spread throughout the known world. And so Paul writes 2 Timothy, and begins in chapter 1, and there he references Timothy's inheritance. And what we are going to see is that Timothy was a young man who early on in his life, he grew up in church. Or in his case, it wasn't a church like we attend today, but Timothy would have attended the synagogue. And there at the synagogue, he would have heard the Old Testament scriptures. He would have heard about the Messiah. He would have heard about salvation. And Timothy, when he was taken to the synagogue, he apparently always went with his grandmother. because Timothy was not known as Timothy in the synagogue, but no, Timothy was known, oh, that's Lois's grandson. Oh, isn't he so cute, so precious. But he was there because his grandmother and his mother brought him. So Timothy was a young man who was raised in church. He had received an inheritance from his grandmother and his mother, and now Paul is writing Timothy to encourage him to finish strong. And in this encouragement, he makes reference to this inheritance. So moms, as well as everyone else here this morning, I want to encourage each of you through the example of a mother seen here in Scripture. I want to encourage all of us to guard the inheritance, because that is what Christ has commanded each and every single one of us to do, to guard the inheritance. Now look with me in this passage. We begin reading here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 3. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purposes and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So we can see, as Paul begins to write this letter to Timothy, he says, if you are to guard the inheritance that God has entrusted you with, the first thing that we must do is we must stir up our gifts. We see this there in verses 3 through 7. So Paul, he writes this letter, and he says, you know what? I thank God when I remember you. I thank God when I pray for you, because I recall our departure. I recall the tears that we shed. But he says, I am reminded of something greater than that moment. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. That word there, sincere faith, comes from a compound word in the original language. It's actually two words that make up one. It's one word that means no or non, and another word that means hypocritical. So Paul there is telling Timothy that I am reminded of your non-hypocritical faith, that your faith is not false, that your faith is true, it is genuine, it is sincere. He says, I am reminded that you have an authentic faith. But did you notice where he inherited this faith from? He says that it was inherited from your mother and your grandmother. Now, the essence of faith, understand, it is a conviction that you have, and you make a volitional choice to follow someone or something. And so Timothy himself was not a Christ follower here because his grandmother and mother were Christ followers. You can't get to heaven because your parents are followers of Christ. No, you have to have faith. But what Paul is saying here is he's saying, I'm reminded of your sincere faith that you were taught about, that you were raised in, because your mother and your grandmother, they raised you in that faith. They discipled you. They told you what Scripture was, and they taught you the truth of God. And he says, because of that, now you have a great foundation. You have a sincere faith. You have an authentic faith. And so then Paul says, because of that inheritance that you have been given from your mother and your grandmother, he then says, you need to stir up your gifts. He says, I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that you got through the laying on of my hands. He says, stir up your gifts. Literally, the phrase there means to fan into flame. It's the idea of a campfire. I love going camping, and I love just sitting around the campfire. If I could just do that 24 hours a day, I think if all of us could do that 24 hours a day, I think life would be much better. We would have less stress because there's just something about staring into the flame. But what he's picturing here is a flame that has gone out. That fire has died down. It's not got that original life, that original intensity, but there's still those red hot coals that you can see. And so what do? You begin to fan it. And those flames, those coals get hotter. You begin to stoke that fire to return that flame to its original height. And Paul here is saying to Timothy, if you are going to carry on this inheritance that you got from your mother and your grandmother, if you are going to guard their legacy, if you are going to guard their inheritance, then you need to stir up the gifts that are within you. He's saying, don't let them go dormant. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. He says, when suffering comes, when hardship comes, when persecution comes, don't let your gifts go dormant. Stir them up. Keep going, keep serving, keep loving, keep growing, keep giving your life to the purposes and causes of Jesus Christ. He says, do not give up. Do not waste the gifts that God has given you. And that is a good reminder for each and every one of us. Because the reality is, our human nature kind of lets us let things slip. It's easy for us to make commitments, but it's very hard for us to carry those out. I wonder, you know, we're a couple of months into the year right now. I wonder how many of us have gym memberships that are just going to waste. Because we woke up on New Year's Day and says, I'm going to go work out this year. It's kind of like me. If you ever have a breakfast meeting over at Cracker Barrel, one of the great places to have a breakfast meeting, I've had lots of them. But every time I leave there, I always say, well, next time, I'm just going to get the oatmeal. But let me tell you, when you get there, it's hard to pass on Uncle Herschel's breakfast. It's hard to pass on that old-timer's breakfast. But after I leave and I've got that gravy just running through my veins, I've got that bacon in my stomach, I'm sitting there, oh, it's just oatmeal for me next time. But it never happens. Because we are good at making those commitments, but it's hard for us to keep them. We struggle to keep them. And the thing is, this is also true and can happen in our spiritual lives. As you know, we often will start out on fire for the Lord. I'm just thinking those four young ladies who came today to be baptized. They are babes in Christ. And it just brought me back to the time in which I was saved. And I think about the zeal that we often have when we're new Christians. I think of the excitement that we have. I think of how when I got saved, I went to school the next morning and I told everyone. I said, guess what God's done for me? He saved me. And we think about all that we do. We think of the zeal and we think of the passion that we have. And we're just excited because we're being a part of what God's doing. We're standing for the gospel. We're standing for the truth. We're sharing our faith with others. We're serving children and teenagers and adults. We're using our life and investing in the mission field. We're engaged in a campaign to save lives. We start out on fire. And then 2, 3, 4 years later, that flame begins to diminish. That zeal is no longer there. That passion is no longer there. And that is why Paul is coming to Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, stir up your gifts. Don't let it go dormant. Don't let this fire, don't let this passion, don't let this zeal go out. Don't let that fire for Christ die within you. Don't let these gifts go unused. And so he says, they are given to you through the laying on of my hands. So, Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith that you inherited from your mother, that you inherited from your grandmother, and it now dwells in you. And so for this reason, he says, Timothy, fan into flame these gifts. And what better way can we have to honor godly mothers and godly grandmothers than to carry on their legacy, to carry on their faithfulness, and to live and to serve for kingdom causes and kingdom purposes? Because listen, if you are here today and you are not invested in God's will for your life, if you are not utilizing your education, if you are not utilizing your gifts, your talents, your abilities, if you are not utilizing your career for the purposes of God, then let me share with you, you are missing out on a joy that nothing in this world can even compare to. Because the thing is, I believe that every single one of you is a missionary. You might have a secular job. You might be in a cubicle somewhere. You might be on an assembly line. You might be traveling a lot. It doesn't matter, but God has strategically placed you where you are. He has strategically gifted you. He has strategically given you abilities and equipped you so that you can make an eternal impact wherever you are. Your background, your life experiences, your personalities, your gifts have been given to you by God so that you can use them in such a way that you are making an impact, that you are touching someone else's life for eternal purposes, that you are taking an inheritance, that you are taking a legacy that perhaps someone in your family has passed on to you. And now you are fully engaged for God's purposes and for God's kingdom. And you are taking that inheritance and you are making the most out of your life. And that should be the case for every single one of us. Because God has equipped every single one of us in such a way that we can have an impact for Him. And that is how we honor the legacies of those who have gone before us. And that is how we can guard the inheritance that God has entrusted us with. And let me just say a special thank you, mothers, for the things that you do and how you do these things. Because I know a mother's work is never done. Lisa Alter said one time, any mother could do the job of several air traffic controllers with ease. I believe it. Milton Berle said that evolution really worked, that mothers would then have more than two hands. Because you have two kids, what happens after that? I don't know. I haven't figured that out. I'm a little worried. But the mother's job is an amazing job. I recently saw a blog that was sharing some statistics, and I see these usually around this time of year. I saw one that was a little interesting, though, that was on a blog on H&R Block, and it was basically saying that if a stay-at-mom home was paid for her work, what she would make within a year. So it said that it broke it down. It said if she was paid as a housekeeper, as a teacher, as a child care worker, as a psychologist, a chauffeur, a chef, and all these other little odd and end jobs, it basically said she would end up making about $77,000 a year for what she does. I've seen some of them that have actually said, well, if you then include what you would make for overtime, I've seen them say that, well, it would be about $130,000 a year. And what that shows us is that the work of a mom is very hard work. And I get that. And a good encouraging word for you from Scripture today is to continue to fan into flame the gifts that God has given you so that in your life you might see a young man or a young woman who's following in your footsteps and saying, I learned how to be a follower of Christ from my mom. I learned how to be a Christian from my grandmother. That's what Timothy is saying. So fan into flame those gifts, because there will be those who will honor your legacy and your faithfulness. And this is something that all of us need a word of encouragement in. To fan into flames the gifts that God has given us. But the second thing we see in this passage is that if we are to entrust the inheritance, if we are to guard the inheritance that God has entrusted us with, we must also speak up for the gospel. We find this there in verses 8 and 12. And I just love this passage. I love verse 12. But if you look back at verse 7 and then at verse 12, what we see there is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. We see that we have an object of our faith, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, then we know who we have believed in. And we can believe and we can be convinced that he is able to guard until the day that he returns what he has entrusted us with. What that means is that the gospel will be able to stand forever. So therefore, we must speak up for the gospel. Because the gospel will stand forever, we can see that Scripture constantly encourages us to speak up for the gospel, to be witnesses for Jesus. And I believe that the greatest gift a mother or a grandmother can ever give is the gift of salvation. And let me tell you here, Lois and Eunice, they didn't rely upon somebody else to teach their children. They didn't outsource the salvation of their children. They didn't let someone else do it. They didn't view the synagogue, or in our case, the church, as the primary teachers of the gospel for their children. No, they taught their children the gospel. And so what Paul says here is that you have a sincere faith that has been passed on to you from your mother and your grandmother. And he says, do not be ashamed of that gospel that they have shared with you. Why are they not to be ashamed? Because the Holy Spirit has not given them a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit has given them a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And let me tell you, if you are here today and you are a Christ follower, then you have those things. This is not something that it's, oh, I wish I had that spirit of power. I wish I had that spirit of love. It is not something that God is forming within us. No, if you are a follower of Christ, then at that moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit came into you. And at that moment, you had that spirit of power and of love and of self-control. You had that spirit of power, the power of God to overcome any obstacle in your life. You had that power of love to act like God and to forgive like God and to have mercy like God. And you had that power of self-control, because these are fruits of the Spirit. And at the moment of salvation, we have all that the Spirit has. So as Christ followers, we each have that spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And now God is beginning to grow you into what he saved you to be. And part of that is the evidence of a conviction in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Part of the evidence of that is a willingness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around you. Not to outsource the education, but in the spirit of power, of love, and of self-control, to share the love of God unconditionally with all those around us. So by faith, if we ask Jesus Christ to save us and to forgive us and to cleanse us, if we pledge to honor Him with all of our lives, if we pledge to live for Him, to submit to Him as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says that God will save us from our sins and that He will give us everlasting life. And there is absolutely nothing in this world that is more important than that. And so that is why mothers, grandmothers, fathers, anybody here, I urge you to speak up for the gospel with those of to those within your sphere of influence, to your children, to your grandchildren. Because may I say honestly this morning, there are a lot of people who love their moms, but those people will spend an eternity away from a God who loves them. There are a lot of moms and dads today who love their children and their grandchildren, but they will spend an eternity away from a God who loves them and who died for them. Because being a good person, loving your family, and going out to a good place to eat right after we go get out of church to go celebrate Mother's Day, that's all good, but it's not what really matters. Those are wonderful things, and we're privileged to be a part of them. But the most important thing in life is that you have a relationship with God. And you can only have that relationship through the person of Jesus Christ. And that is why the greatest gift that you can give to your family is the gospel. And that is why it's the greatest thing that we can give to anyone that in our lives is to communicate with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation in Jesus. And that is why Paul says here that you have received an inheritance that has been passed on to you from your grandmother. You have received this inheritance that's been passed on to you from your mother. So he says, stir up these gifts. Serve God with all that you have and all that you are, and you have the gospel. So don't be ashamed of it. And because we know who has called us, and we can trust in Him, because He will guard what He has entrusted us with. He says you can rely upon the gospel. So we must stay faithful. Mothers and grandmothers, this is especially true to stay faithful to teaching your children and your grandchildren what is most important to them. And there's so much impact a mother and a father, a grandmother or a grandfather can have when they continually invest spiritually in the lives of their children and grandchildren. The third and final thing we see in this passage is that if we are to guard the inheritance that God has entrusted us with, we must stand up for the truth. We see this there in verses 13 and 14 as he says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, we are to guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to us. He says, guard it. You remember the sound words that you have received in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul says, look, you have received sound words from me. You've received sound words from your mother and your grandmother. You have seen the patterns of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, now what I want you to do is to guard the inheritance at all costs. And that is what God has called us all to do. The implication here we can see in these verses is that Paul begins to imply that, yes, Timothy, you're going to suffer for your faith. Yes, Timothy, you are going to be persecuted. And guess what, church? That's also true of us. There will be people that mock us because of what we believe. There will be people who turn away from us because of what we believe and what we teach and what we profess. But even though there will be those who mock us, even though there will be those who turn away from us, we still must be strong and profess the truth of the gospel. And that is exactly why Paul realizes that Timothy here, he is going to face hardship. That is why in chapter 2, here in chapter 1, he tells him to not be ashamed, to guard the inheritance. And then in chapter 2, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then chapter 3, he realizes that more difficult times will come. And then in chapter 4, he tells Timothy, you need to endure hardship. And that is exactly why Paul is so concerned here, that Timothy will guard the inheritance, that he will not lose sight of what is most important, that he will not give up on living a righteous life, that he will not give up on honoring the Lord, and that he will continue to guard that which God has entrusted to him. And that is what you and I have been called to do as well. Because we must stand for the gospel. We must stand for the truth. Because we believe that God is greatly glorified in a home where there is a mother and a father, a wife and a husband. We believe that God's will for our lives is best, and that when we pass on this inheritance of salvation, of living and in obeying God's will in this way, that God will make a tremendous difference in our lives as well as in the lives of those around us. That is why we as a church are encouraging you to invest in VBS. As we try to invest in the lives of the children in this community, that we can impact them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we as a church are asking for people to be invested in the skating ministry, as we have seen that the majority of those children are unchurched, are unreached, and we are saying, why don't you come and be a part and invest your life in this so that we can reach the unchurched families in our community. That is why we as a church are doing everything that we are doing, because we believe that God has given us an inheritance, and that is greater than any obstacle that we might ever face in this world, and that He is the one who is absolutely going to guard that which He has entrusted for us. And so it is our responsibility to honor Him by guarding that inheritance. It is our responsibility to honor Him by stirring up our gifts, to stand up and to speak for the gospel. And when we do these things, we trust that God will be greatly glorified. And so, mothers and grandmothers, I want to encourage you here this morning to stand up for the gospel, to stand up for the truth, and to continue to pass on that type of inheritance to your children and your grandchildren, so that when you pass away, that the most important thing is not the money you leave behind, or the house, or any material belongings, but the most important thing is the legacy of your faithfulness to God. That's the greatest thing, mothers and grandmothers, that you could ever give to your children. You know, as I think about the imagery that Paul uses here with Timothy, I think of the city of Pompeii. You've probably heard of that city. You know, it's an ancient city that a volcano erupted, and it just destroyed the city, but actually the ash fell in such a way that it preserved everything as it was in that city. Archaeologists have gone into Pompeii, and they have uncovered all these different things there. They have begun to see basically the pottery and the houses, and basically created molds of the people there. They have seen the people that were chained to the walls there, that were in prison. They were unable to escape. They have seen them there. They're still chained. They saw families that were huddled basically in the basements of their homes as they were trying to escape the destruction of the volcanoes. But what was really interesting is, as they began to uncover the gate of the city, there they found a Roman centurion standing guard at the city gate. The ground was shaking beneath him, I'm sure, at that time. Could see the volcano erupting in the distance, the ash beginning to fall on him. But he stood guard over that city gate because that's what the captain had told him to do. He didn't leave. He didn't disobey. And now 1,500 years later, researchers found the mold of his body still standing at the city gate. And nearly 1,500 years before that, a man by the name of Paul wrote to his young protege in ministry, and he said, "Timothy, guard the inheritance that you received from your mother and from your grandmother. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of a world that is opposed to all that you are teaching, in the midst of a world that is opposed to the truth that you stand upon," he said, "guard it with your life." And that is exactly what Timothy did. And that is exactly what we are called to do today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for who you are. We are thankful for the truth that you have given us. We are thankful that we can trust upon in you, that there is nothing in this world that you can't handle. There is nothing in this world that you can't overcome. We know that as followers of you, you have given us that truth. You are able to hold on to it, to keep it in our lives. You are able to guard it and to keep it as truth, and we can hold to that fact. And now you have called us to guard that inheritance with all that we are. You have called us, Father, to stand upon the gospel, to share the gospel with those around us. You have called us to stand upon the truth, to let those know around us, here's what the Word of God says. But so many times, Father, we face a world that opposes us. We face a world that persecutes us. We face a world that mocks us. But Father, I pray you will give us the strength and the courage to stand strong, to guard the inheritance that for many of us has been passed down from those who have gone before us. Father, I pray for the mothers and the grandmothers who are here. I pray that you would continue to encourage them, to strengthen them, so that flame that maybe has diminished a little bit will come back to the fullness of its life. And their children and their grandchildren will look to them and say, "That's what a Christian is. I want to be like them. I want to love God like them. I want to follow God like them." And Father, if there's one here, though, who does not know the truth of what you have done, Father, I pray that your Spirit began to work on them, that they will open your heart to you, the work of your Son, and cry out for forgiveness, and cry out for to be cleansed. And Father, we know that if we just put our faith in you and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and confess with our mouth that He has been raised from the dead, that we will be saved. It's a great thing that you have done for us. We pray for all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing. 'Tis so